Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, as he's closing his letter to the church at Ephesus, and he deals with the home in the last part of chapter 5. He deals with husbands and wives. He opens up with children. He deals with how children and the home is to be run. He deals with servants there. But as he begins to close his last part of this chapter, look in verse 10, and I'll ask you to stand one more time as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, and look in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you again for another day. But Lord, we really need some help right now. Lord, I'm just a feeble man trying to preach the message that you've gave us. And Lord, nothing in our ability that we have to be able to do this today. But would you please come by and touch us and anoint us afresh. Lord, I pray folks' hearts and minds would be open and active to receiving of your word. And Lord, we really want folk to get something from you this morning that they need. And Lord, I pray that you'd hinder Satan from this service. And Lord, give us a good train of thought. And Lord, I pray you'd help us today and that to preach what you'd give us. Save somebody that's lost. But Lord, we pray that you'd help those that need help. We're just in such a time of when folk need help, God, that I pray they'd find it in you. We love you and thank you for loving us. And save that sinner's nearest tale for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As the Apostle Paul begins to deal with the whole armor of God that we are to wear in our Christian life, and he tells us about that, how to stand and to stand in the evil day, and he teaches us all that and tells us all that, verses 14 through verse 18. But it's not really what I want to deal with today, but primarily in that, out of verse 10, and probably start a series of messages simply on the power of God. Now, when you begin to study and think about and read about and search out the power of God in your Bible, it's never ending, if I could put it that way. That is a great big subject when you start searching out the power of God. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was preaching on the presence of God. And he said, the more that I studied this message, the more that I learned how unlearned I really was on the subject. And I went in to that with that thought as I began to study this. I am thinking, boy, how unlearned some of us are. Not everybody, but some of us truly are on the power of God. The power of God, you know, I believe it was in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Apostle Paul, I said unto him, you know, as he talks about that in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, God can do whatever he chooses to do. Listen, if he wants to turn the ocean upside down and shake all the water out of it, he can do it. Amen. I mean, he could. Listen, all that stuff was meted out in the holler of his hand. Amen. When he created the ocean. But the word power simply means the faculty of doing or performing anything. To have the power to do, it means force. A strength, a ability. You know, if you have the ability to do something, you have the power to do it. But it means the divine or the sovereign. And so when he begins to talk right here, as the Apostle Paul was closing out the chapter to the church, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And so if we're going to be strong today, it's going to be by His power. If we're to see anything, it is in His power. I really like how when God's power is evident. I like to know He done it. I like to see Him move. and watch him do things that I can't do. I got a text the other day from a preacher that he's had a little bit of church trouble here. I wouldn't call it church trouble. I've been trying to change some things that needed to be fixed and get some things squashed down and keep trouble away. And he had a charter member in his church that, man, she was just giving him, a fit. Just give him a fit, if I could say that. And he just kept doing what was right. He just kept doing what was right and kept praying and seeking God. And he had called me and he said, "Preacher, I only want to do what's right here." And he texted me the other day and he says, "You ain't going to believe this." He said, "That woman's on my side and probably one of the biggest supporters I got." Now, said she's seen everything that's been going on. What I've been talking about has been the truth the whole time. And I texted him back and I said, "Only God can do something like that. Only God can change people's minds and open their eyes up and let them see what's going on. Only God can do that." And I love it when it works like that. Amen. Hey, when you pray and cry and weep, I want to see God move. And then all of a sudden, He does that. I love it when it's evident that it's God. There's not anything that we've done. Boy, I'm telling you, I try and I pry and I work and I'll do things and try to make stuff, try to put a square peg in a round hole sometimes. And it just won't work no matter how much you beat on it. But I'm telling you, when God gets involved, it'll work. I told somebody a story about me and my wife building our house. And I mean, I didn't know nothing about building a house or getting that part of that done. But I remember coming in here one day by myself and caught up around that altar. And I just told God, "If that's what you want us to do, I will do it. But if you wanted us to..." Now, I was serious when I said it. I said, "Lord, but if you want us to live in that single-wide trailer the rest of our life, I will live in that single-wide trailer." And I'm telling you, He done more in 3 weeks than I could do in 3 years. I watched Him do it. And it was amazing to watch God work. Hey, it is the ability or the faculty of being able to do it. There's things I don't have the ability to do, but God does. Amen. Listen, we see it in creation when God created the heaven and the earth. We see His power that He reached back on nothing. Ain't that a good word, wretch? He reached back on nothing and created all of it. Listen, when Moses and the children of Israel stood at the Red Sea by the power of God, he held out his rod. God caused the wind to blow, and he parted the Red Sea, and they walked over on dry ground. And you know what's even better than that? He held his rod up again. God closed it back up and drowned the enemy. Amen. I like that. Hey, listen, 1 Samuel chapter 17, that David went out to meet Goliath. David was a man, a young man, of 16, 17, 18 years old. And he goes out and out with a sling and 5 smooth stones and a shepherd's crib and a staff. And he runs out there and he's got one sling, one rod, and he's slinging that thing and turns it loose and hits Goliath in the one spot where he had no armor. Right there. And then that uncircumcised Philistine fell forward. I never understood that. That's by the power of God. What do you mean you didn't understand it? You get hit in the forehead, how do you think you're going to fall? Chances are you're going to fall backwards. That old boy, he fell forward. You remember for 40 days and 40 nights, he stood out there and defied the armies of God and cursed at the armies of God at morning and evening. I believe it was at morning sacrifice and at evening sacrifice that he come out there and cursed the God of heaven. God said, "Okay, old boy." Elijah stood on Mount Carmel. Well, let me say this before I move on to Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah was up there with a widow woman. Ain't that right? First, in 1 Kings 16, God fed him by the brook Cherith and gave him meat and bread in the morning and the evening. And when that dried up, he went up to Zarephath because that's the direction God sent him and sent him to a widow woman who was willing to feed him because God had prepared her and all she had was a little meal and a little oil. And he said, "You just do mine first and God will take care of the rest of it." And the Bible said that meal barrel nor that cruse of oil ever run dry. Now that's amazing, because she said, this is all I've got. This is all the meal that I have and all the oil that I have, and I've got these few sticks, and I'm going to make a cake, and then me and my son are going to eat this, and then we're going to die. That'd be a miserable experience, wouldn't it? Here comes the preacher by, and her head is drugged down. She's a widow woman. Nobody else started to take care of her. She's got a son. And I don't know. I don't know how old he was. But anyway, she had just already resolved herself and that we're fixing to die. We're going to starve to death. But by the power of God, he kept that meal barrel full and that cruise of oil. You always need to be careful in that to follow the will of God, because he may be fixing to do something for you that you can't do. And she was a Gentile on top of that, by the way, if you look at that. He gets over to Mount Carmel and stands, I'm going to get somewhere here in a minute, gets over to Mount Carmel and stands up there, and we all know the contest that took place, but he prayed 63 words, and God answered by fire, and licked up the water, licked up the sacrifice, licked up the rocks and all that. God done that. But even better than that, he goes just a little bit further up on top of the mountain, and he begins to pray that God would make it rain. How many of us got the kind of power that we can get in touch with God and cause it to rain? You know what he told King Ahab back in 1 Kings chapter 16? He said, it ain't going to rain until my word said. That's what he said. He said, it my word. He said, it ain't going to rain. So Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel and begins to pray. And his servant goes out there on the seventh time, and he said, I see a cloud likened unto a man's hand. I wonder whose hand that was. We get over to the New Testament, and we see all the miracles that Jesus performed. From the time that he stood on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. From the time he healed those that were sick. I mean, it was just amazing at all that he done. And even in the power of his resurrection, you know, the Apostle Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. All of us want to know about the power of his resurrection. You know, when you got saved, you got to know him in the power of his resurrection. You did. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you got to. That's another great thing about the power of God. He can change a man or a woman, boy and girl, when he saves them. Amen. Only by the power of God can he change. I work with a boy who was a drug addict. When I go in sometimes and work, he was a drug addict. He was a meth maker. He sold dope, made dope. But when that boy got saved, God changed him. Amen. I like to get around Avery sometimes when he tells him stories. But he'll always talk about what the Lord done for him and how God changed him. We was talking about a fella that he used to run with some. He got to talking about making meth, and he said he popped one of them lids while they was making it one day, and he breathed that stuff. Oh boy, that he was cooking with, and he said he breathed that stuff, and he talked about how, he said, I watched him. He said, I watched it just affect him right there on the spot. And he said, we parted our ways, but he ended up in the hospital and said he hung on for another 2 weeks, something like that, and eventually died. And he just sat up there and cried on me. He cried on me. He said, because I'm telling you right now, I believe that boy's burning in hell because he didn't know the Lord Jesus. Boy, aren't you glad God found you where you were? And boy, and changed you from what you used. You say, I wasn't that bad. Yeah, but ain't you glad God changed you? Because ain't no telling, I'm still going to preach that message if God will help me one day, and that he saved me out of what it might be. See, we don't know what we might. All of us that got saved early in life, at least we don't know where we were headed, but boy, God did. And boy, I'm glad I got saved early in life. Missed a lot of things that I didn't need. Amen. But he sat there and cried on me and talked about that. But I'm glad God can change a person. I really am. And it's by the power of God. Amen. But listen, I want to see the power of God in my life. In my life and in this church's life. Now there's some people that think that the power of God is so elusive that we can't have it. Brother Jeff, he kind of talked about that this morning about the Holy Spirit coming by. And the Holy Spirit has to be comfortable. And I'm going to tell you, you can offend the Holy Spirit easily. It has feelings. He has feelings. He's talking about that dove and how a dove won't light and stay somewhere unless it's comfortable. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is, friend. If he ain't comfortable, he ain't going to stay there. And so it's by the power of God. But a lot of people think that it's so elusive. But it's not. And then some people think, how's this Brother Adrian Rogers? I preached the other day and he got to talking about how a lot of people think that God is just a spiritual bellhop, you know. And I thought, well, that's a good way to look at it. And how that he just comes by anytime and will do anything that we want. And we just say, Lord, do this and do that. And I'm glad that he always does listen and that he does hear. But now there's, if I could say this, some things that's going to go with that. But talking about the power of God, how do we get the power of God to be evident in our life? And I thought and I prayed about that, and I had a young man come by my house the other day, and then my wife was sitting there, and he was wanting to come by and talk about some Bible versions, what was wrong with other Bible versions. But when he got there, I was ready for bear. I mean, he wasn't coming to argue. He really wanted to know. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And when you want to learn something, you start in that direction and start learning. And that's what this young man was wanting to do. He was wanting to learn why we use the King James Bible and why you don't need anything else. So I was ready to go. And so when he came in and sat down, I said, son, what do you want to know? And he says, well, just to be honest, I want to know how to understand the Bible better. Well, now that's a little different question than what I thought we were going to be answering. And I think I got there, but Miss Latham, she come up with a saying that I thought was just so profound. And I told him what it took to understand the Bible. I said, son, if you want to understand the Bible, then you need to read it and you need to pray while you're reading it. And if you're saved, God will reveal it to you. He'll open it up to you. I believe it. I've done that too many times. You don't talk about seeing the power of God. I've read this book, and I've watched the words dance across into my heart, if I could say it that way, and become alive and speak to my heart. You know what's even more exciting to see that? I'm gonna tell my wife here. She said, you preachers talk about how the Word of God just comes alive and just enlightens you and you get something out of it. She said, the Lord done me that the way the other day. That's more exciting to hear that my wife had done that than I did. Amen. And she got something out of the Word of God. Watch these kids running around here and saved and read the Bible and get something out of it. You get around a young man or a young lady that begins to say, let me show you what God showed me the other day. In this book. Boy, that's exciting, friend. I'm telling you about the power of God. The power of God. And Miss Latham, she said this to this young man that was sitting there. She said, it's simple to understand the Bible, but it's not always easy. And can I tell you, as I thought about that terminology, I thought about that with the power of God, that it is simple, but it's not always easy. I mean, this is going to be a very simplistic message. And I made it through my long introduction, but how do we get the power of God? How do we really get the power of God? When he said to be strong in the power of his might. That's not our power, but his power. Remember what I said a few minutes ago, just now unto him that he's able to do it, sitting above all that we ask or think. He can do it. Do you know that he can do whatever you ask him to do, he can do it. But you know what's even better than that? Before you've ever thought of it or can even think of it, he already has. Let me ask you this right here. Has God ever done anything for you and moved in such a way? And you say, boy, I never thought of that. I never seen that avenue that could be cooked right there for God to work this out. I didn't even see that road to be able to. You know, we formulate in our mind how God could change this person or make this situation better if he would just do this or this or this or this. And then all of a sudden, God will sneak in the back door and do something else.
and say, boy, I never thought of that right there. Only God can do that. But how do we get the power of God in our life? And I told you it's going to be simple. First of all, you have to read and heed your Bible. Right? I mean, the Bible said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, piercing by the sun and soul and spirit and of the joints and the mire, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want to know about the power of God? Read the Bible. You want to know how to have the power of God in your life? Read the Bible. And then make application to the Scripture. Listen, how would you know, how would I know about the power of God and what is real? And I'm going to deal with the real power of God now if He'll help us. Because there's a lot of people, they stick God on a lot of things that God ain't nowhere around. And they blame Him or give Him credit, ever how you want to look at it, for things that He had nothing to do with. But how would you know and what would I know if we didn't have this book right here? You know, he said in the book of Psalms 119, he said, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. David said, I've kept your word, Lord. You want to see God move in your life? You'll see Him move in your home? You know, what we want when it comes to power is the thunder and lightning kind of power. But you know what makes the grass grow? It's not them storms that blow through with the thunder and the lightning. It's that everyday rain and it's that dew that falls and that sunshine that comes out. That's what makes your garden grow. That's what makes your grass grow. It's that little stuff. Listen, I love that little stuff. And then all of a sudden God will let you see that little stuff sometimes and say, hey, I was right here. I was right here. I love, don't misunderstand me. I love the big stuff. I love it, man, when He moves. And you say, that could only be God. But it's that little stuff. He said, I've kept thy precepts. It's this book. Man, it's this book. And it, if we'll just read it and heed it and do it, that's how we find the power of God. I'm going to tell you, I'm determined. I really am determined that God does not work and move for people that do not read their Bible. Now, you may not agree with me right there, but I'm going to tell you, the more you want to learn about God and know about God, the more it'll begin to change you, and the more you'll see God change you and help you change, and begin to see Him work in your life and around you. He told the church at Philadelphia, He said, I know thy work. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And then He said, this, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. He said, church, you've kept my word. Can I ask us this morning, how much do we read it? You remember what I told you? It's simple. You want the power of God in your life? Then you've got to make application out of this book right here. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. How much do we read it? How are we going to know? Brother Jeff's been teaching the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning. I always encourage you to come. It's a great Sunday school on the book of Proverbs. How are we going to have wisdom if we don't read the Bible? A lot of people just want to pray and say, God, give me wisdom. That's like praying, God, let me lose weight. And then keep eating hamburgers and hot dogs and chocolate cake. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to work, friend. I remember I was dealing with a fellow years ago, and this one is a young man. I didn't really know how to handle this situation. But we do believe in the pre-millennial and the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. This old boy didn't. And all he would want to talk about is I prayed for 3 weeks that God would open my eyes on that. But I don't believe he ever picked up his Bible. You can pray all you want to. If you don't pick up your Bible, you ain't going to learn a whole lot. I'm just saying, you know, it's like my doctor told me here a while back. I went in to see him and talk about losing weight, so on and so forth. He says, you do need to exercise. And he says, you're going to have to change your diet. And here's what he said. You can change your diet. But he said, if you don't exercise, you probably ain't going to lose weight. And then he said this. And he said, when you get done exercising, you can't go by the McDonald's and get a quarter pounder either. Man. Yeah, I love him quarter pounder. I really love him double quarter pounders. Amen. And I blame all that on Miss Latham. I'd quit eating at McDonald's because she got sick. And boy, when she got the COVID, she wanted to go by the McDonald's one night. And I obliged her because we was on our way home from the hospital. And man, I fell in love with McDonald's again. Amen. I did. It's quick and it's good to the taste anyway. It probably ain't good for you though. Where was I? I got to get off McDonald's. Power. It's out of the Word of God. You want to see the power of God? Read the Bible. You want to experience the Word of God? Heed the Bible. You want to see God change something in your home? Read the Bible and then do what it says about the home. You want to see what God says about how to run a church and how to have the power of God in the church? Read the Bible and then do it. You know what saves people? I'm determined that, for one part, we don't see a lot of folk getting saved today simply because of the times that we're in. But that should not change the mission of the church. The direction of the church is because we're living in the last days. And I'm afraid that's changed our heart a little bit. And as one fellow said, and I've said this before, it seems like that we become keepers of aquariums more than we become fishers of meat. You know, one thing that he told Peter over there is he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of meat. Ain't that what we're supposed to be doing? I still get amazed to watch people walk the aisle and come and get saved. That just still amazes me. Especially standing from the position that I'm at, to come up here and to give you what God has given me to try to obey God through the week and read and pray and study. And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's agonizing. But then when you stand up here and preach and deliver what God's gave you, and then you watch a sinner walk the aisle. Man, that amazes me. You say, did it have anything to do with you? No. All I try to do is obey God. That's like when you go visit your neighbor or somebody that you work with that you gave them a track and you've talked to them about the Lord and you want to see them get saved. And then all of a sudden, one day, they do. How'd they do that? Well, it was by the Word of God working in their heart. I didn't realize how much it was of the Word of God of those Sunday school teachers that I had as a boy. I still think back to my Sunday school teachers. I do. I think back, and most of them were ladies, and as we were growing up, and as just a little boy, I still think about all the time and the patience and the long suffering that they had with us to teach us about Jesus. They didn't know what any of us was going to be. But yet they were just faithful to teach us the Bible. It made a difference. I'm determined because men stood and preached, that's why I got saved. You know, it is the gospel that is the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul said, for the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in assurance. I believe he said in much assurance. The gospel comes in power. You preach, you tell the death, the burial, and the resurrection and tell folk, if you'll believe that, what Jesus has done for you, and you'll call out and ask Him to save you, He'll do it. You believe it's that easy? I know it's that easy. I don't believe. Not only do I believe it's that easy, I know it's that easy. I've experienced it and I've seen it. Watch folk call out on God believing in His power, knowing what He could do. You know, we sing that old song, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. And I'm telling you, I'm glad there's power in the Lord. It's this foot that corrects us. Don't we need correction sometimes? Talk about having the power of God in our life. I don't want to do anything that will hinder the power of God in my life. But this book is what
corrects us. You know, he said, "What before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." What was it? Jeremiah said, "Is thy word not like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Is it not the word of God that teaches us and tells us where we're wrong, where that we can draw close in that to the Lord and have His power in our life? And it gives us great peace. You know, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I mean, it's this book, but power. Psalms chapter 19 talks about how that it's sweeter than the honeycomb. Let me flip over there. Take your Bible and go to Psalms 19 real quick. I'm aware of what time it is. I know what time I started. Somebody already changed my clocks. They didn't want me to think I had all kinds of time. Psalms 19. Look in verse 7. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Boy, ain't that great. The book I got in front of me is perfect. And we can get into the King James Bible issue. I do believe the King James Bible is it. I do. And I believe this book that I hold in my hand is perfect. He says it converts the soul. I'm talking about the power of the Word of God. He said the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Somewhere along the line, before I got saved, now I'll be honest with you, I don't remember. I might have been listening that night, but I don't remember what the preacher preached that night that I got saved. I really don't. I just know the Holy Ghost was dealing with my heart. That's been a long time ago. Now, I do remember what the preacher preached that morning that I surrendered it at the call to preach. He's preaching, I believe it was there on that scripture, where he's talking about looking for a man to come stand in the gap, but he found none. I remember that. But I do remember God was dealing with it. But listen, it is the Word of God that converts the soul. God took that book and began to deal with my heart, and He'll deal with yours. It's the book. We are a people of a book. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. How much does the Word of God rejoice and make your heart rejoice? Well, it does mine. It does yours to read it and then love it. And man, I'm just glad that God, let me say this, most days I'm glad God left us a book. What do you say most days? Listen, when my old pride gets fired up sometimes, man, some days I don't want to read this thing. Because you know what it does? It begins to correct us, don't it? It begins to correct us. He said the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Then he said this, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Remember I said, you read it, and then you hate it if you want the power of God. You're going to have the book to see the power of God. If we're going to have the power of God around this church, God to be preached, God to be taught, God to be lived by. I'm going to deal with that living by the Word of God tonight, if He'll help me with that thing. But I'm telling you, this book teaches us how to live in this world and have power with Him. Not only is it in this book right here, but then it is by faith. How do we have the power of God? Through faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We come by faith to seek and that the Lord. How is our faith today? You know, the Lord told His disciples over there when they come and said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith, the grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That's pretty good faith, ain't it? I'm telling you, I would love to have that kind of faith, Brother Martin. To say to a sycamine tree, to an old sycamore tree out here, say, tree, you get up and go over here and get in the water. And that thing just pulls its roots right up, walks right over the water, and sets right down. That's pretty good. That's pretty good faith. That's pretty good power too, ain't it? Take your Bible and go to the book of Mark chapter 2. Go to Mark chapter 2. You ever been around folk that just lives by faith? They seriously, you say, well, I'm living by faith. That's good. But I'm talking about, man, it's like they figured this stuff. I'm still trying to figure some things out some days, church. But it's like they've got it figured out, if I could say that. But Mark chapter 2, look in verse 3. I'll give you time to get here because I want you to see it. Most of you probably know it. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. And they come unto him, talking about coming to the Lord. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. So there's four bringing this fellow that is sick of the palsy. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now you remember the story Jesus did at this house. At one of the Gospels it said that it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And there were so many people there to see Jesus in this home and in this house. But that these four fellows could not get their sick friend to Jesus. So they go up on top of the house and they pull back the roof. Now notice he said, and when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So we know the story. They just let him down before Jesus. And in verse 5, and when Jesus saw what? Their faith. Not the sick of the palsy's faith. Now ain't what your Bible says. Your Bible says their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus seen that these fellers had faith in him. How is our faith in the Lord today? You know, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they had great faith in the Lord. They said, King, he can deliver us from this fiery furnace, but he will deliver us from you. You want to talk about having the power of God in our life, it's going to come by faith and through faith. You're either going to believe God or you're not. Some days, I'm telling you, I struggle simply to believe God. I'm like that fellow that Brother Seals preached on the other day, you know, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Now, I get that way sometimes. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. A preacher said one time about folk that this helped me about folk that they struggle and they struggle with their salvation, they struggle with their faith. But he said when years ago he said when I dealt with that he said finally he said I quit arguing with the devil and then he said I told him I've done everything that this Bible has said to do and there's nothing else that I can do. When we do everything that this book says to do, and there's nothing else that we can do, and we've obeyed this book, and we're just putting our faith in the Lord. You know, when you got saved, the element of faith was there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Do you realize the rest of it is in His hands? And man, when you learn that, it fixes everything. It should. Faith. We want to see God move. We're just going to have faith that God will move. That God will do. We'll take His book, we'll read it, we'll obey it, and then whatever it says, then we're going to say, all right, God promised this over here, and I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to put my faith in the Lord and watch Him move. Have you ever told the Lord this? I have. Lord, I believe this is what You want me to do, and I'm at a place right now that I can't do anymore. Kind of like when you remember I preached some time back when the children come to the Red Sea. And you know what? They come to the place that they couldn't do no more. The Red Sea was before them and the Egyptian army was behind them. And God told them to go out there. But they were at a place to where they could not do anymore. And God said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all Moses had to do was have faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do.
How many of us have been weak in faith? And boy, just wrung our hands and worried. I have. I've worried and wondered and just... Because you say, well, I've seen God not move in times. Yeah, but God's had something else going on the whole time that we didn't see. I've had to go fast there, but faith. You want to have power with God, you've got to have faith, that faith. It's impossible to please Him. And it'll be impossible to see the power of God. Last of all, I'll come back to this and I'll move fast on this one because Brother Larry taught and preached on this the other day. But in Matthew chapter 17, it comes through prayer and fasting. You want to see God move, you're going to have to pray and you're going to have to fast sometimes. So they had tried to heal that demonic possessed child and they couldn't get it done. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and they come back down and Jesus cast out that devil. And then they come to Him and Jesus said unto them, because they asked, why couldn't we do this? Why could not we do this? And He said, because of your unbelief. Well, they had a lack of faith, didn't they? For verily I say unto you, if you had faith in the grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So they lacked their faith. But obviously, and you've heard me say this before, but obviously them boys wasn't praying and fasting either. Because He said it only comes out by prayer and fasting. You know, I talked a few minutes ago about folk having power with God. You know why they got power with God? They spent some time alone with God in their prayer closet. And they probably give up some food along the way to watch God move. You can go to Matthew chapter 6 and read about prayer and fasting. The one thing that I always remember about my prayer time is He said, enter into the closet, and then He said, shut thy door. I'm good at getting in the closet. I'm just not good at shutting the door. And He says, when you fast, He said, don't be as the hypocrites, you know, that disfigure their faces and all that. But He said, anoint yourself. And He says, you go on about your business. You want to have power? One of my favorite sayings is this, is, We want to give a 10-cent prayer a lot of times to get $1 million answer. Now, I'm glad God hears us just like that. We can pray, God, help this situation right here, and He'll help. But how much time we're willing to spend in prayer? You know, He talks about in Matthew 6, He said, be not as the heathen do. In Matthew 6, that pray using vain repetition, thinking for much speaking, they shall be heard. For them speaking, they shall be heard. He didn't say not to use repetition. He just said don't use vain repetition. So I think sometimes it would do us good to just keep praying and keep praying. You know, doing it over and over and over again is repetition, ain't it? He said just don't use vain repetition. You know, like the Roman Catholics that's got the rosary beads, you know, and their Hail Mary, Mother of Glory, and all that stuff that they have to repeat to get all that done. And them Muslims that pray five times a day that got all these words, how that they repeat thinking that that's going to create and that the power of God. It don't. But when you begin to pray and seek God from your prayer closet, begin to ask Him and weep and cry and beg and go heartbroken and fasting, finish no telling what God's liable to do when we come in faith. He told them, you've just not believed and you've not been praying and fasting. Paul and Silas got in prison. The Bible said they prayed and they sang. And the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, God shook the prison doors. The early church in the book of Acts were praying for Peter to get out of prison. And God sent an angel there and got him out. And when he came over there and knocked on the door and Rhoda said, it's Peter, they still didn't believe her. I always get amazed at that story. They spent all day and all night praying that Peter would get out of prison. And when God answers their prayer, they stood amazed and couldn't believe that Peter was there. You ever done that? You ever prayed for something and then you stepped back and looked at it and God helped my faith last Sunday. I'm just going to be honest. I told my wife, I said, He answered a very little prayer for me, but made it so amazing in my own heart and in my own life. Don't you like it when God does something for you, and you see God move? Elijah simply stood on Mount Carmel and prayed. God answered. How much prayer and fasting do we do about service on Sunday? You know, we want to see God move in our church. How much time do we spend praying? Want to see God change things? Get folk to come to church. You say, boy, I'd love to see more and more folk come to church. Well, let me ask you something. You been praying about that? But then second of all, are we doing anything about that? You know, I'd like to lose weight, but then I keep on eating at the McDonald's and I don't exercise. I probably ain't going to lose weight. Lord, we'd like to see you save sinners. Well, are we trying to reach sinners? I'd like to see homes get in by my home, be in a better shape. Are we trying to do anything about it? We reading the Bible? I'm just saying, we want to see the power of God. It's real simple. Sometimes it's just not easy. You're going to have to read and heed your Bible. You got to live by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And then you got to pray and you got to fast and say, boy, God, we want to see you move. And this is how much I want to see you move. Let's bow our heads this morning.